It's a real thing, eh? Huge thing. Some of you are worried and anxious as we speak. What are you anxious and worried about? Should be stuff that's important, should be stuff that really matters. I shouldn't worry about how boring this weekend's gonna be or how your phone calls are gonna go. A lot of times people are anxious and worried about their futures, most of you. Well, what's gonna happen about your future? What are you doing to improving your future? I'm serious, you are all worried and anxious about your future and where you'll be and where you're going. What are you doing at this stage to improve it? You know, the devil steals time from you worrying and being anxious. It's not from God. Worries and anxiousness is not from God. It comes from the other. And it steals time from you and it keeps you stuck there. And before you know it, you've been 3 months into your program and you're so worried because you haven't changed. You know, I've seen a lot of people leave this program and by the time they leave, or a week before they leave, they're so anxious and so worried about it because the time that they were here, they wasted. So I'm going to ask you again, what are you doing to improve your future? If you are pushing time, guess what you're stealing from your future? Success. May not be much or a lot, some of you more than others. But you're stealing from it. You're not adding to it, you're taking away from it. How many times have we spoken about me standing here, but you guys are not wasting your time here? Another Friday in a rehab, another Tuesday in a rehab, another this, another that. You're so worried and anxious, but you take no responsibility in changing it. You know, I had a look at you guys this morning when I came back, actually on Wednesday night. You guys walked out of worship and you all look so troubled. Troubled. You know what, when you guys walk around like that, it reminds me of one thing. And it's an attitude issue. It's ungratefulness. You are ungrateful. How many times must I stay here and say yes that people phone us daily wanting help? You guys get it on a silver platter, some of you. Fifth rehab, fourth rehab, 27th rehab. It's your attitude. Your attitude. And immediately we become ungrateful. Guess what happens also? There are a couple of things, but there's two main ones that happens. When you become ungrateful, you become unteachable. When you become unteachable, you become rebellious. Become prideful. And then the humbling experience regarding that is a painful one. I've been humbled many times in my life. Not one of it was nice. Some of you say you take correction. I guarantee you people in addiction are sensitive. Correction is the last thing that you want. But it's the very thing that you need. Ungrateful. Walk in gratitude. Be thankful. You have no reason to sulk. You have a massive opportunity to become everything you dreamed of being. If you just change your perspective on it. Can I teach you anything if you're ungrateful, Warren? No. She's got a very cool chapter, Tony Joyce, but I'm going to show you guys just some of the effects on the body when you're anxious and worried. There's a churning feeling in your stomach. Maybe you can, maybe you're there now and you don't know what's wrong with you. Maybe you're angry. Let's just see. Feeling lightheaded or dizzy, pins and needles, feeling restless or unable to sit still, headaches, backache, other aches, faster breathing, sweating, hot flushes, problems sleeping, grinding your teeth, especially at night, nauseous, needing the toilet more than less than often, or more than less, having panic attacks. If you guys are all, do you know where I want to be a Christian the most? It's outside my allocated time of being one. I mean, worships, church on a Friday, or church on a Saturday. I want to be the better person outside those. You know, just because I worship on a Wednesday night and I go to church on a Sunday doesn't make me a Christian. Where I'm going with this is the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything. Cast your cares onto Him because He cares for you. Stop seeing this as the end, but as the beginning. Your life is not over. How many times was I tell you guys, this is just a season that you are in. If you don't do the, if you don't plot the right things in this season, you'll reap more of this. Does that make any sense? You got that? What you sow here, or what you sow here, you will reap. Invest in your future. Some of you are just stuck up with the all the wrong things running through your mind. Anxious about, I didn't do my duty. Oh, never mind. What are you doing? If you're so anxious about a lot of things, what are you doing to change it? I can sit on a chair and be anxious about my future and sit on that chair and be anxious about my future for a very long time if I keep sitting on that chair. How can you expect to change your life if you keep going to rehabs? You keep complaining about time. How can you change anything if you're in rehabs all the time? Some of you hate it, Joe. It's your perspective on it. There's a simple thing about this. If you don't change things daily, or think about things to change daily, you won't change. If I tell you that this is the thing you need to work on, if you don't work on it, it won't go away. It will stay there. You take yourself with when you leave here, my man. I don't know how to... Changing is hard. Who told you changing? Who told you changing wouldn't be easy? Do you know in your heart that it will be difficult? Okay. Changing, Warren, is it easy? Is it difficult?
It's difficult.
Okay. Leonard? Chris? Jed? Billy?
Yeah, difficult.
Okay. Now, if you all agree that it's difficult, why are you so surprised when it happens? Things get difficult. Things are in the way, my man. And you made a mess of your life up until this stage. You've made a mess of it. It took you a long time to do it. 2 months is not going to pull you out of it. Yes, bro, I can just imagine. Think about how long your addiction was. Mine, Long time. Let's say the average stint of addiction to really like mess up your life. Let's call it 3 years, because that first year you're still thinking your stuff together. Then the second year you sell everything that you have, maybe if your addiction's hard enough. And then the third year you start stealing and all that kind of stuff. And then it just gets deeper and deeper. Then you're selling your bodies, and then you get drugs and you do all of that and do things that you wouldn't do. Let's call it 3 years. Do you know how many bad habits you pick up in 3 years, my bro? Especially when you think about nothing else than just yourself. Now you come to rehab, 2 months in, you think you're ready. 3 months in, you think you're ready. Anxious and worried. What are you doing to change it? There was no peace in my addiction, even though I thought every time I used drugs I was peaceful, but I wasn't. I was extremely anxious and extremely flippant, worried. There was no peace in it. Maybe in the beginning there was like this little thing that I kept on chasing, this little peace feeling that... I smoked weed for about a year when I was in school. And that means I get pretty paranoid and anxious and worried when I'm on weed. So I was pretty much anxious and paranoid for a year. What is it, if you're in that state of mind, how can you tackle or face anything that's important to you? A lot of times you're anxious and worried. But yeah, sure, it's a real thing. But once again, it's your responsibility to change it. The effects on the mind when you are anxious and worried. Feeling tense, nervous, unable to relax. Having a sense of dread and fearing the worst. Horrible place to live, eh? Feeling that the world is speeding up and slowing down. Feeling like other people can see you're anxious and are looking at you all the time. It's paranoid. Oh. Feeling like you can't stop worrying and that bad things will happen if you stop worrying. You are meant to be peaceful. You are meant to be trusting and relying on God all the time, searching for Him and things, and you know, finding Him in situations that you find yourself in, and turn towards Him, not away from Him. If you do all those things, you know, and you trust in God, what have you been anxious about? What have you to be anxious about or worried about? If He's your center and your anchor, what have you to worry about? All of you say you come to worship and clap hands and praise God. Do you know who He is? Oof. Do you know who God is? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know who it is you're worshiping on a Wednesday and on a Friday and on a Sunday? Do you know who we talk about, yeah, all the time? You know, everything that we preach and teach, you can go to the Bible and check it out for yourself. Who's Jesus to you? The thing is that the things that are important to you, you're anxious and worried about, like going to be a dad, that chases you away, yeah? Going to be a mom, that chases you away, yeah? Going to be a son or a daughter or fix all the mistakes that you've made, that chases you away, yeah? You were anxious about all those things, right? Well, you are a bit anxious about all those things. But when you were there, you didn't give a shoot. You didn't give anything. You didn't give it a second thought. But now all of a sudden you're away from it. You know what they call that? Sentimentality. It's a thinking error. It's a thinking error. It's a thinking error. And the thing is, you'll probably live in that thinking error if you don't get rid of it, yeah. All that your family wants is their sons and daughters and husbands and wives back. Kids want their moms and dads. So it's your responsibility to make sure that you give them that. If all of a sudden you throw away your whole program because you got extras when you thought it was unfair, what does it say about your character? Yeah. If you are under pressure and the thing show its head that you really thought you dealt with, what does it show about you?
Not really.
The thing is, we do real here in this place. We do real. We do real. The program's designed, you know, all the counselors are wise enough to help put you under pressure. And then the things that you thought you dealt with, it's not dealt with. Then it shows its head, and guess what? All of you want to go home. Meanwhile, your families are so worried because they know as soon as you tackle anything difficult, you give up. Yeah, most of you have come so long, such long ways. Such long ways. But thinking that you've learned anything that you can learn, you're making a huge mistake. And I'm 38 now. And when I was 23, I thought I knew everything. Now at this age, it feels like I know nothing. It's absolutely impossible to worry and live in peace at the same time. Impossible. Cannot serve two masters. But we give away our peace so easily, man. Because we don't see a worth in ourselves. We think things are beneath us. We think things are beneath us. We think that this place is beneath us. We think that what is being spoken here is beneath us. We think that what we do in counseling is beneath us. We're really desperate to changing our lives. But we absolutely do nothing about it. Each person sitting here knows exactly what they need to work on. It's no secret. In this kind of place, God shines a light on it. You know exactly what you need to work on. And at this stage, until now, you didn't know how. Peace is not something that can be put into a person, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And fruits are the result of abiding in Jesus. See John 15 verse 4, KJV. Abiding relates to entering the rest of God, spoken on in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, as well as in other places in the Word of God. Jesus gave us all peace, but he said we must not allow ourselves to be fearful, intimidated, and unsettled. So whatever you are facing right now, whatever you are going through right now, don't be fearful, intimidated, or unsettled. I don't make a decision without having peace about it. Praying about it, speaking to Lucas about it, speaking to Rolf about it. I don't make decisions without me covering all the angles. And normally when I do that, I have peace about a situation. And then I make a decision. But if I do things that in the dark a little bit and make little plans about some stuff and not asking the right questions or saying stuff, but not everything, that generates anxiousness and worried. Because what have you done? You've manipulated the situation. Looking for your own will. In other words, peace is present in us, but it must be chosen over our fleshly minds think. Things of the spirit and things of the body, they clash. They don't mix. They're opposites. My flesh wants something and my spirit wants something else. And what my spirit wants is much better than what my flesh wants. It's like getting a future. Go do this, go do that, pay this, get that, get a job, buy a car. What does the Bible say in Matthew? First seek the kingdom of God and everything shall be passed on to you. Does it say find a job and then praise me? Does it say be financially settled and then find me? No. First seek him. We can choose to be peaceful by choosing to think on things that promote peace rather than things that open doors for worry and anxiety. There are several words in the Bible that refer to worry depending on what the translation is being read. The King James Version does not use the word worry, in addition to use fret. Other somber phrases use the warning against worry, take no thought. Don't think of worry in mind. Don't think of worry and anxiety. You know, anxiety was a huge thing for me. I didn't want to feel it. I didn't want it. I didn't want to be around it. So I always took something to take it away. And the thing I took to take it away make it worse. But I thought that was my antidote for me feeling anxious and worried. But normal people are anxious and worried, not just people with a background that we are in. They don't run to those things. You know, you can use some of those things to drive you. If you don't have peace about something, most times it probably isn't for you. Anyways, worrying certainly never makes anything better. So why not give it up? That's very easy. Worry is definitely an attack from Satan upon the mind. There are certain things that a believer is instructed to do with his mind, and the enemy wants to make sure that they are never done. So the devil attempts to keep you mentally area busy enough for the wrong kinds of thinking, so your mind never gets around to being used for the purpose which God designed it for. Because you guys can have a, I've only met a couple of people that actually do it, but there must be millions more. But people that chase success in a career never make the effort to spend some time in ministry. They say they would. They say they would. Many times people say that they're going to find a proper job and earn lots of money so they can donate to a church or build a church. That never happens. It's not realistic. There are people, millions of people that do it. But I've never seen that really with people with our kind of backgrounds. Because we chase the wrong things. But if you put God first in everything, if you know that God gave you this job, God gave you this, God, everything that you have is because of God, it's a different story. But people lose track when they start earning a lot of money. Like this. And while you're sitting here, you're thinking, yes, if I can only earn 40 clips a month, then I'll buy a car, I'll donate 4,000 rand a month to a church, I'll tithe, I'll help kids in the street, I'll do all these things, until you get that money. Until God gives you that job, because you prayed for it, now He gives it to you. And now you sort of go all selfish again. Seek first the kingdom of God. Why should you be worried if you first seek the kingdom of God? You don't have to be worried at all. If I put God first in every situation, sometimes I do choose my own will because I think it's from God. Those are hard lessons for me to learn. But I try to involve God in everything that I do. And you know what? I go to people that don't always agree with me, or always never agree with me. Look, Rolf and Lucas and Dirkie, and everybody, Apostle Kevin, Vanosa, you know, everybody that you, when I go and ask them things, they don't always agree with me. It's sometimes the disagreement that makes me see the truth. Matthew 6:25-34 are excellent scriptures to read when we feel a worry attack coming on. Let's look at each of the phrases. Okay, therefore I tell you, stop being anxious and worried about your life. What shall you eat or drink or whatever tomorrow? So it's a very cool scripture because it's even